Welcome to Upside Down Mirror, one woman's true story of a twin flame journey, a reflection of true love, true hate, and everything between, where everything and nothing matters at the same time. Shatter as mirrors of shadows cut through indestructible layers, testing the sands of time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Upside Down Mirror. If you remember from episode 1, I had just got done having an interview with Gabe at a restaurant at Deep Creek Lake. On my way home, I heard on the radio that Sean's band would be playing at Deep Creek Lake soon. I was super excited to see him. The next few weeks went by, and I could not help but to have a strange magnetic pull towards Gabe. As we were working together very diligently for him to start moonlighting at my practice, my heart would beat rapidly just by answering his call or checking emails. Most of our correspondence at first was through email, text, or over the phone. Here and there, both of us would let out subtle cues that we were interested in one another, but for the most part, I felt like both of us worked very hard at trying to hide our attraction, waiting for the other one to say something first. Also, there was the issue of crossing the boundaries, him being the lead psychiatrist at my practice and me being the owner. Definitely crossed my mind that it could be a conflict of interest. Life at my practice kept me busy, along with my children and my friends. I was very happy just being alone at the time. However, before I knew it, it was time to go see Sean's band at the Black Bear at Deep Creek Lake. I was super excited to see what our reunion would consist of, wondering what he would think when he saw me, if he missed me, if he still had that strange pull towards me as I had towards him. However, when I got there, if he could have wished me away, he would have. He ignored me. But I went up and I said hi. He immediately looked at me and said, "I'm sorry, but my girlfriend's here." Just then, a gentleman came over and asked me to dance. And he looked at me and said, "Well, why don't you go dance with him?" And I said, "I don't want to." And then he reiterated that he had a girlfriend. So I went about my way. I was heartbroken momentarily. I was still very attracted towards him. I felt used and very unimportant. So I left there, feeling a heaviness in my heart. However, my heartbreak did not last that long because Gabe was coming into my life full force. He asked me out for business dinners quite often. He invited some of the staff as well. So at first it was a bit confusing as to whether or not this was truly business or if he had an underlying interest in me as well. The signs were there. We were giving each other eye contact, smiling, and touching each other on the arm and shoulders when opportunity arose. When I was around him, I was pulled towards him like a magnet. I found myself thinking about him a lot, wanting him in every way. Finally, after many dinners and many small business meetings and getting things organized for the practice, he invited me to a dinner at Deep Creek Lake with just he and I. After dinner, we went walking at Swallow Falls, a beautiful falls. The weather was perfect, It was late evening, the sun had just went down. We hiked over to a rock right in front of the falls where we could feel the water splashing onto our face. He asked me if I would meditate with him. Of course, I was super excited. I've been always spiritual, and to have a guy wanting to meditate with me and have an interest in that just made me feel comfortable and at home. Gabe sat right across from me with our knees touching, took a deep breath, took my hands, closed his eyes, and started to meditate. I immediately felt the presence of his energy intertwine with mine. I've always known how to navigate through energy my entire life. I was born psychic. I was super surprised to know that he could do the same thing. This man was truly psychic. I could tell already that he had very powerful abilities. I could feel his energy reading me over, searching me, curious to understand what was going on with me. It's like his energy was navigating through my body. He was imprinting on me. This was different. His imprint was intoxicating. So I opened up my eyes, looked at him as he was still meditating, leaned over, and kissed him. He quickly opened his eyes. He looked at me and jokingly protested and was asking, "What was this all about?" Just then, he pulled me towards him and gave me a very tender kiss that started out soft and led to a more passionate, pronounced kiss. He was truly, probably the most passionate person I've ever met in my entire life. This man had the ability to read my mind, body, and soul from the start. He was kissing me and touching me in exactly the way I needed. It's like he was a part of me. It's like he could read what I needed, wanted, and desired. Kissing him put me on fire. Every single atom of my body lit up, and I could have kissed him forever. His affection, his kisses, were different. They were almost addicting. And what I mean by this is normally when you kiss somebody, and it's a nice kiss, you feel secure when it's over. Just thinking about it, lingering in the aftermath of the kiss, makes you feel secure. But as soon as he was done kissing me, it didn't linger. I just wanted more. There was no aftermath, nothing to bask in. It was like being cut off cold turkey. In order to feel that excitement, I had to be in the kiss, in the embrace, in the touch. This soon would become quite the problem. I didn't think too much of it at first. I didn't really realize how abnormal that was. I just chalked it up to me missing him because our connection was so strong and so powerful. It didn't take very long at all for me to start to see a different side of him. Right after the kiss by the falls, we took each other's hands and walked back to the car. He looked me in the eyes. It was a different look, like a mischievous look, like someone that was planning something. And he said, "Please don't tell anybody about this. Don't tell anybody about the kiss." My heart sunk. Another guy who just wanted to hide the relationship. He squeezed my hand and said, "Don't worry, it's not because I want to hide the relationship." Once again, like he's reading my mind. He said, "It's because I'm the doctor and you're the owner of the practice, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea about me before I even start. I don't want people to think that I'm trying to get a raise or I'm trying to sleep my way to the top." He said he would like to be able to establish his own first impressions. I understood that and I respected it. So for weeks after this, we kept everything quiet. We didn't do much. We went out to occasional lunches, kissed each other here and there within the office, flirted, talked quite a bit on the phone. However, there were certain things that were really bothering me, even at this point. I could count on one hand how many girls at the practice didn't hit on him. And the way he handled it was very undesirable. He seemed to like all the attention, flirting with these girls, actually leading them on, and letting me know in indirect ways how much power he felt he had in this position over me, with the people at the practice. By this time, I was so into him that I rationalized his behaviors, made up excuses for him. It seemed to me, though, after about 4 months, things started to shift. He asked me out one night after work. He wanted to take me to dinner, just the two of us. So we left our stuff at the office and went to Japanese. The conversation was great. He made me laugh. He was a gentleman. Told me during dinner how much he really liked me, how he enjoyed talking to me, how he could see me in his life, that he was extremely attracted to me, and not only that, told me I was a very good friend to him, even at the beginning stages of our relationship. I was super excited. It's basically everything I wanted to hear. So we ate dinner and went back to the office. It was quiet. Everybody had left. We walked into my office. I was looking into his eyes. And we started to make out. He has absolutely gorgeous brown eyes. Every time Gabe looked at me, his eyes sparkled, like he knew a secret that he was about to tell me. And the only way I would learn it is to connect with him through kisses and caresses. He was very seductive, in a way that I've never encountered my whole entire life. Surrendering into his energy of seduction felt like a web that I wasn't sure I could get out of. But the scariest thing is I wasn't sure I wanted to get out of it. It felt dangerous. I knew I could get lost. But it was so intoxicating. It made me dizzy. In Gabe's web, I wasn't attached to anything. Everything felt like it was up in the air, spinning, some sort of chaos. It was exhilarating. I wasn't scared. I was intrigued. I was ready to go full force into whatever I was feeling. We were making out, exploring each other. And when I got to his penis, I was absolutely shocked. It was phenomenal. I really don't think I've ever came across a penis that was so perfect in my entire life. It was large, not too large, but just perfect. Everything about this man was physically perfect. His seduction was right on. His ability to know what I was thinking, feel what I was feeling, was out of this world. I put my hand in his wavy dark hair and my lips over his full lips and started caressing his perfectly manicured body. I was totally lost in him the first time that we made love. But he did not finish. He satisfied me, stopped, and did not finish. Of course, I'd never experienced that before, so I asked him what was wrong, and he said, soon I would see. Making love to Gabe was so paranormal. It was out of this world, the way that he made me feel. Towards the end of the lovemaking, right after he told me that he was going to withhold his orgasm. I heard music everywhere around us, angelic fairy music. We often play music in the office, so I just figured that one of the secretaries left the music on for one of the clients that might have been there towards the end. I asked him if he heard it, and he said yes. We got up to walk around the office building. It was about a 2,000 square foot building, looking to find the music that was playing. However, there was no music playing, none. We just continued to get our stuff together, and during the process, we both stopped hearing the music, so we kind of forgot about it for a while. He was walking me to my car out in the parking lot. When we got to the door of my car, we heard the music again, the same angelic fairy music, as though there were speakers in the sky. I've never experienced anything like it before. We were listening to music from a different dimension, a dimension of angels. To me, that was a sign. That was a sign that he was the angel and that he was bringing forth the music. This must explain why he's so paranormal and psychic, why everything about him is completely magical. I left him feeling turned upside down because I've never been with someone who makes me feel so good, yet so needy afterwards. Just craving more and more and more. Like, I couldn't wait. Like, literally, I could not wait to see this man again. Once again, I just thought maybe this is what it feels like to really fall in love, to really connect with somebody. The next couple days at work, I noticed some changes in him. He wanted to know everything about what I was doing with the business, who I was talking to in reference to the business, who I consulted with to make business decisions. Of course, I asked him, you know, why all of a sudden he was concerned in these matters. He said it was because he was trying to build a future with me and he wanted to build a foundation where both of us were making the decisions, where both of us had a say. He wanted to learn about my life and everything about me. The second time we were together sexually, if you can believe it, was even more paranormal than the first time. We started to make love. Once again, his kisses, I was just totally lost in his kisses. I could kiss this man for hours upon hours. I could make love with him hours upon hours. His stamina, his strength, his endurance, I've never seen anything like it. So the first time we were together was amazing, but this time blew me away. When I orgasmed, this orgasm lasted for 1 hour. I couldn't stop orgasming. And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to have to go to the emergency room because I can't stop this orgasm. He kind of chuckled, took a deep breath, like he knew exactly what I was going through, and said, it'll stop, just give it some time. So I looked at him and I asked him where he knew how to do this. He said, I've never learned how to do this. I thought you knew how, because this time when we were together, we experienced full-blown tantra. Neither one of us had claimed to have practiced tantra, studied tantra, or know anything about tantra, but our energies were communicating together before we even had a chance to. We were following the synchronicities of our energies through our lovemaking. Our breath took on its own life force. The microcosmic orbit between the two of us was very natural and in sync. The tantric orgasm can last for even hours at a time, which I didn't know. After this experience, our sex life became extremely satisfying. We made love by doing tantra at least 3 times a day, sometimes for hours during those days. I would have full-blown tantric orgasms, so would he. He even knew how to initiate the tantric kiss, which I learned later by studying Tantra after this experience. It's like he just knew how to do everything naturally. After a while, it became a game. He would count how many tantric orgasms that I would have in a row after hours of lovemaking, to the point where when we got up to about 30 orgasms, I remember telling him, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And he would insist upon it. And I just thought, wow, this is a very selfless man. But the whole entire time, what I didn't realize is that as far as I thought that I was in his web after the first kiss, this is nothing compared to how entangled I was in his web after the tantric lovemaking. I didn't notice all of a sudden when he just turned completely controlling. I would go to work when he was at work. He would be seeing patients, and it might be time for me to leave to go even see my kids, practice basketball with my son. And he would look at me and he would say, if you don't stay here with me, I'm leaving. Or he would threaten to break up with me, or even really threaten to fight. And I would give up things that I normally wouldn't give up for anybody and just sit there under his control. Once again, I just thought that this was because of how connected we were. After all, everybody by that time definitely knew we were in a relationship. Many were concerned about how attached I was to him, my friends and family. There were a few people that didn't like him, saying that they could see right through him. However, I just remember thinking, there's no way that I'm giving up a relationship where I'm this close to the person. He would take me to lunches, bring books that I would totally be interested in, read them with me at lunch, and discuss them with me, all about the paranormal spiritual world, which I'm extremely interested in. One time he invited me to his house, which was about an hour away from my practice and where I live. And he took me for a ride in his truck, and what he did the entire time was just listen to his favorite meditations with binaural beats. I would go home with him, he would cook with me, cuddle, start a fire. Every time I would think about getting mad at him, he would do something amazing. Something that I would dream about a guy doing for me. And then I would immediately forgive him. Our connection just became deeper and deeper. I remember having energy sex across the room. I knew when I was about 10 years old, I watched the movie Cocoon, and I knew that I would be doing energy sex from across the room when I saw the aliens doing it in the pool in that movie. It was awesome. He would sit on one side, I would sit on the other. I would orbit my energy into his body, and he would orbit his energy into mine, and we would have energy sex. It was beautiful. One time I was exercising and he was at work, and I was at my house exercising. I heard my cell phone ring, so I ran to the phone and I answered it. But I wasn't out of breath when I answered it. But he said, I called you because I knew you were exercising and I could feel that you were out of breath. Other times he would call me right after I was done laughing and he would say to me, I could feel that you were laughing. And if I didn't believe that, I was completely convinced when I was driving to go someplace one time and I was looking at the sign and it was like go east or west. And I didn't know if I took that specific direction, east or west. And just as I was thinking where to go, he called me and he said, go west. And I said, how did you know? And he was like, I know you, Rebecca. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're feeling. And I know what you're seeing. He literally knew these things 100%. As weird as it was, this made me feel protected. It made me feel safe. It was like he was always around me, even when he wasn't. I could feel him in me. I fell in love with this man with all of my heart. I knew he could feel it. I knew he knew it. And I was entrusting my life in his hands. I remember one time he took me to lunch. He looks me deep in the eyes. You know, his eyes were absolutely amazing. The type of eyes that showed expression very easily. He could glamour with his eyes for sure. And he looked at me and his eyes went a little dark. Like almost like some of his soul left. And he stands up and he says, "You know, I have to take your light, but I don't want to." Of course, I was very shocked. I didn't quite understand what he was saying. And he said, "You're like a delicate white flower growing with beautiful light around you, Rebecca." He goes, "I'm going to take that light, but I don't want to. I really don't. I've never had someone say that to me before. And now I understand it, and I'll get into that later. But the only thing I could think was, I will love him enough where he doesn't hurt me." So I just looked at him and I said, "If you don't want to take my light, then don't take it." We were about 4 months into dating when he started to bring up the fact that he believed that him and I were to have a child together, that God, Creator, Source told him that I was to have his child, that he could see that in our future. To be honest, this man was way too selfish to be a father. As much as what I was going through and as much as I was in love with him, I have never introduced him to my children. And my maternal instinct took over, and I would never allow him in my home or near my home when my children were there. So my children had no clue that I was dating this man. I would see Gabe on the weeks that my ex-husband had my children because we had joint custody. So I told him I didn't want to have a child with him. I didn't trust him, that fathers have to be selfless and seem like they want to take care of other living beings. I was in love with him, but I knew he was very selfish, narcissistic, and I absolutely felt from the bottom of my soul that he would not make a good father. However, this became an obsession with him. He talked about it constantly, kept saying that it's in our destiny to have this child, that I was supposed to have this child with him. So shortly after, I got on birth control. I've never believed in birth control in my entire life. I think it's very toxic for the woman's body. But he was so adamant about getting me pregnant, and we were so sexually active that there was no way I was taking the chance. So I got on birth control and I remained on birth control for quite some time. The business was expanding quite a bit. My patients really had no room in the waiting room. It came to a point where there wasn't even enough offices for the practitioners to see the patients. So we had to make a decision about a building. You know, I had thought about renting a bigger building, but he found a particular building that he wanted, a 3,600 square foot building for the mental health and primary care practice. And he wanted me to buy the building. And I remember saying to him, "That's such a large commitment to buy a building. I'm such a spiritual person. I love the energy work I do. I wasn't even really sure if I wanted to commit the rest of my life to a primary care mental health practice because of my passion for integrative energy medicine and spiritual healing." He became extremely angry, very, very angry, and said, I mean, yelled at me and was screaming that I was going to keep the practice, that he was going to be a part of my life through the practice, and that I needed to be responsible and buy a building instead of renting a building. That was the responsible thing to do. I reluctantly agreed. I mean, I was very heavy-hearted with the decision of buying a building and committing full-time to a primary care mental health practice. I didn't believe in psychotropic medications or pharmaceutical medications, and I just felt so disheartened in this decision, but I honestly felt like it was the only way to keep this relationship with him, because after all, he was a psychiatrist. So we found a building that he was very interested in purchasing. At first, I didn't like the building at all. It was downtown. I didn't like the surrounding. It wasn't peaceful. It was city. And, you know, he was just saying he was very adamant about that building, very, very adamant, saying that's the exact location that it needed to be. We had to be in this location. However, everything was going to be in my name, 100% in my name. Nothing was in his name of the practice. It was just mine. So I agreed to go look at the building. My sister, who worked for me, and a few of the administrative staff got together along with him to go look at the building one night after work, the building we were thinking about purchasing. Once again, something very paranormal happened on the way to look at that building. Every single stoplight that we got to turned green before we got to it and let us pass, as though it was giving the green light to buying the building. And I'm not just saying, oh, it was coincidental. It was not coincidental. This was at least 6 stoplights that we had to go through where as soon as we approached them, they turned green. I wasn't the only one in the car that noticed it. Even people who aren't into the paranormal or really study this stuff or do the work that I do that were in the car with me even noticed it. And once again, he smiled like it was just something in his everyday life. So I definitely took that as a sign, like, yeah, this building is the building that we're supposed to get. We walk inside the building. It was huge. It was like a warehouse that we could turn into office space. And he looks at me and he hugs me and says, we can do this together. He's like, I'll do the blueprint engineering of the rooms. We can hire people to build the offices. I'll help, because he said he was very good at construction and engineering. And it's something that you and I will work together on, Rebecca. And, you know, for the first time since the thought of getting a building, of purchasing the building, I was actually excited. My excitement was short-lived, though, a few nights after the decision to buy the building. Him and I were making love, and he was telling me how attached he felt to me and how I was a major part of his life, telling me everything I wanted to hear. Once again, I can't begin to even explain in words how I felt in this man's arms. It's like the whole world could have stopped. It was eerie. It was like almost like anything besides him at that moment didn't matter. But then he looks at me, and he was already making quite a bit of money at my practice. He was a 1099 subcontracted employee. I was responsible for 100% of the business expenses, the overhead, the inventory, you know, anything that this business had to pay for or buy was completely my responsibility. Well, he looks at me and tells me that he deserves 95% of what he brings in, which is unheard of for a subcontracted employee who's not paying for any of the overhead or expenses. And I just looked at him and I said, I'm actually going to lose money on you. I won't be able to pay for things. And he said, I deserve it. I deserve 95% of what I bring in. And if you don't give me 95% of what I bring in, then I may have to consider quitting. And I thought about it and I said, well, how am I going to be able to afford everything else in that practice if I'm giving you all of that money? And he said, all of the good fortune that I bring to you will pay for the remainder of the expenses. Something along those lines. I was very confused. I didn't know what to do, but I eventually agreed to this horrible proposal that he put out. I mean, it was extremely difficult to tell my sister, who is like a business manager, of my decision. I mean, she literally thought I had gone crazy, giving this man 95% of the income being brought in through psychiatry. But I did it. This was the beginning of everything crumbling right underneath of me. Things were about to happen that I could not even imagine possible at this point. I will end here, and I hope you guys join me for episode 3 of the Upside Down Mirror. However, I would like to end with a note. As you hear my story through this podcast, I want you to remember that everything internal is reflected in our external world. So one of the biggest learning lessons through my whole experience in this process is everything that happened to me was a reflection of ultimately how I felt about myself. So I do want you guys to keep that in your mind throughout this journey with me.